Hello, my name's Erin Yankee. Thanks for being here this morning with me. Dawn Merrill, author of Pledge, the Public Radio Fund Drive.
Hey, Erin.
Hi, Dawn. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. This is a massive book. I'm so excited to dip into it.
Yeah, more than one person has called it massive.
And it's all about the Public Radio Fund Drive, which KBOO is in the middle of theirs right now. So you can throw a little light on what we're doing conceptually as well as for the listener experience for us today. And so first of all, what compelled you to write this book about the Pledge Drive?
I think the main thing that compelled me to write it was I had served time in the U.S. military. I worked for Armed Forces Broadcasting. And so we used to get feeds from National Public Radio, and the feeds came to us from the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service headquarters in Los Angeles. They distributed programming from the United States to the military overseas, but we never heard anything about pledging. What they would send us were the stories, and then where the breaks were, the military would insert command information and military-related stuff. So we would hear the shows like Morning Edition and All Things Considered, but we never heard any of the pledging. So when I came back to the United States after I left the service, I liked the show. And so I looked around for a public radio station that was airing public radio, and I would listen to it. And the very first time that I heard a pledge drive, I was like, what is this thing? I didn't know what it was. And it made sense. I mean, it made sense that, okay, well, this is how they raise money. I didn't realize that they were different from commercial radio. So, you know, the first time I heard it, I thought, no, this is kind of clever. This is kind of cute. But then I heard it like 3 months later, again, for like a week. And then 3 months later, a week again. And I thought, this is really starting to get annoying. And I thought, well, is there a way to is there another station, I mean, that doesn't do this? And then I realized that they all do it. And that was probably in the early 90s. And so it's taken me about, I don't know, what is this, 2019?
19.
Yeah. It's taken me about 20 years to get around to writing this book.
Cool. And what was the process of it? It's basically... We'll get a little bit later into the public radio versus community radio, whatnot. But were people on board? Was it easy to get folks to talk to? Or was there research you could refer to? Or did you have to do your own?
I did a combination of all of the above.
Okay.
I had to create a lot of original research. I also talked to a lot of people who were influential in helping create public radio. I talked to people who are currently working in public radio, and I got a lot of information from academic studies, news reports, interviews, things like that. Some of the information is secondary, some of it's primary, so it's a combination.
Neat. And so let's talk about the different kinds of radio, and then you can talk about what you focused on in the book.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Just if you just break it down basic, like listeners may not have ever thought about before, like KBOO is a community station. That means something different than the public stations that you're mostly referring to.
Right.
So.
Right. The KBOO audience and the OPB audience are similar in some ways. Both audiences tend to be very socially engaged. Both audiences tend to be left of center. Both audiences tend to be, I don't know if I already said socially active, but they want to see the results of their efforts and they want to see themselves reflected in the world that the radio brings them. So they want to see stories of activism. They want to see stories of social improvement, you know. The difference between community radio and public radio are that community radio relies more on closer relationships with the community. They rely more on one-on-one relationships with individuals and people and businesses, whereas public radio tends to focus on corporate relationships, especially in recent years, because state money and federal money has been reducing over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Ever since the financial crisis of 2008, states have been clawing back a lot of the money that that they would maybe grant to universities. And since we know a lot of universities run public radio stations, they've had to go elsewhere to get that money, and a lot of stations have leaned toward corporate money. The problem with leaning toward corporate money is that corporations then start to have an outsized influence on what they report and how they report. Community radio doesn't do that. Community radio is very focused on maintaining its independence, and so the relationships with community radio and its community are more personal. The relationships, if there are business relationships, they tend not to be corporate. They tend to be more business related, like one-on-one, like relationships with businesses that share the same philosophy as the station. Like, for instance, I know the station. I know KBOO, for instance, has a close relationship with Tom Dwyer Automotive. Tom Dwyer shares a lot of the very same politics as KBOO, as the KBOO audience, you know. So those are the kind of relationships that community radio usually goes to, and that's how they're different from the relationships of corporate radio. I mean, now I don't say corporate radio. Apologies to OPB, of public radio.
And we are in our membership drive right now, and so we would like to invite you to call 877-500-5266 and help support the station.
That is correct. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to become a member of KBOO. I'm having a little bit of trouble wrapping my brain around today's discussion series. Let me lay this out for you, listeners. We have right now in the studio KBOO's own Don Merrill, who wrote a book called Pledge, the Public Radio Fund Drive, and we're talking about it during a public radio fund drive while we're collecting funds. So I'm worried that it may be a rift in the space-time continuum might open up here during this meta conversation we're having, but that's a risk that we're willing to take, because those are the links that we will go to bring you this kind of quality analysis, this kind of high-level discussion on your morning news and public affairs programming on this station. That's how deep we are willing to go. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. I give you my solemn vow today that we will keep your contributions free and clear of any rifts in the continuum that may open during this conversation. Your funds are safe with us. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Become a member of this station. Become a part of the conversation you're hearing today. Become a part of this connective tissue that binds our community together. I might sounding a little bit grandiose. Yes, I am. But that's just how important this station is to your life if you are a regular listener. I just challenge you right now to imagine what your morning might be like without the programming here on KBOO. I'm willing to bet that it would be a lesser experience for you than it usually is. This is radio that makes your life better. This is radio that connects you with the people in your community. This is radio that helps you be a better, more informed citizen, more engaged in the politics of your community, more engaged in the politics of your nation, more aware, more able to take part in conversations with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with your friends, with your family. In other words, KBOO makes you smarter. I am here to say it right now. And if you don't believe me, give me all your money. 877-500-5266. You know, for a pledge of only $6.25 a month, that's $75 a year, you can get a KBOO logo t-shirt, and you can wear it proudly around town, showing your affiliation with your community-supported, non-corporate radio station, KBOO. And if t-shirts aren't your jam, we've got a whole bunch of other thank you gifts standing by at various levels of support. So just give one of our volunteers a call. They are waiting to hear from you. Let them know what sort of contribution works for you, and we can let you know how we can help you out in terms of some really cool KBOO stuff that you can carry around with you. And also, even more valuable, the knowledge, the pride that comes with being part of a radio station like this, with a community institution like this. 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Abe. This again is Erin Yankee, and I'm here with Don Merrill talking about the book Pledge, the Public Radio Fund Drive. Sorry to blow your mind with the space-time continuum, but that's what we do here at KBOO. So, Don, kind of one of your main questions that you ask yourself in the book is public radio going through an identity crisis?
Mm-hmm.
is public radio going through an identity crisis?
It is. And part of the reason has to do with just the fact that populations change. When NPR was created back in the 1970s, community radio, by the way, has been around a lot longer than public radio, just to say that. And community radio has more or less been able to keep its personality and its character intact because it's not really geared so much to, it doesn't seem to be as geared toward the demographics as much as public radio, but there are overlaps there too. But public radio, when it was created in the 70s, you know, was mostly focusing on, you know, people who were in their 20s and 30s, like the millennials are now. And so public radio developed its programming and its ways of talking to its audience and things that it used to attract its audience based around the people of that time. And those people became the ones who were the strongest supporters of public radio. They were like the first supporters of public radio. But as time's gone on, you know, those boomers became seniors. And their children, you know, became latchkey kids and then, you know, Generation X and then millennials. And so now the technology has changed and the millennials have changed the way they want to consume their content. They want to consume everything through smartphones and they want to consume everything through earbuds. And they don't like the way public radio can sound kind of paternalistic. They don't like being talked to by people who assume that they know more than them. Because millennials, as we know, you know, don't necessarily need boomers. You know, they want to be able to sort of like do things their own way. And so public radio has this reputation and this history of not exactly talking down to people, but sort of like talking in a way where you're supposed to trust it because it's public radio. Millennials don't necessarily feel that way. So between the attitude changes of the different demographic cohorts and the technology changes, and that also affects the money because boomers who spend a lifetime building their financial portfolios and they have all the wealth, they're the ones that are still supporting public radio. And public radio knows that because millennials are just now getting established. But public radio is looking toward the future because they know boomers aren't going to be around forever. So they're trying to walk a line. They're trying to walk a line to give boomers what they want while still trying to create stuff that will attract millennials because they have figured that millennials will be the big contributors of the future. And so they're walking that line. And it's not just, pardon me, it's not just the network walking that line. It's also the individual stations because the network is made up of individual stations. So each station is trying to figure out how to walk that line with their own audience. Some stations are more successful than others. But for stations that who get the formula wrong, their drives can be reduced, which means the amount of money they bring in can be reduced. Their audiences may not reflect the mix they need to stay financially viable. They're always juggling programming. Like, for instance, millennials like podcasts. Well, podcasts are expensive for stations to produce. They're time consuming. And plus, the stations may need to have the technology to broadcast a podcast. They may need like a second stream. You know, that costs money. And so stations, sometimes what they do is they end up putting programs that have been broadcast into a digital form. But the millennials call that shovelware. They say you're trying to digify analog content, and millennials are hip to that. They're like, no. We want original stuff.
Uh-huh.
So stations are really stuck.
Huh. Who's doing it successfully, do you think?
Well, the big stations. The stations that have the pockets, you know, and the cash to do it. You know, the OPBs, the WNYCs, the KERAs, Texas Public Radio, you know. But the small stations, they're the ones that have the trouble. Because, like I said, it takes money to do this stuff. And it takes staff. It takes time. You know, and just because you create a podcast doesn't mean it's going to be successful. You know, it has to be something that millennials actually want to listen to, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you talk about, too, the ways that connecting with listeners is very different for generationally. So you have the old mm-hmm. ways. And there's about, like, you have kind of a line of, like, 20 years ago, they were doing this. So did something happen 20 years ago where they did a lot of research about engagement or
What happened 20 years ago was the internet.
Only 20 years.
Yeah, about 20, 30 years ago. I remember someone told me that I needed to get online in 1990. I remember I was at the University of Cincinnati, and I was standing at the counter of one of my counselors' office hours, and someone walked in and said, "You got to get online." And it was like 1990. I'm like, "What is online?" You know?
Yeah.
And there it is.
There it is. Yeah. So it's taken about 20 years for radio stations to get a digital or an online kind of plan, I guess, or how's the planning?
Well, I think it took them that long to realize that the internet was actually a force to deal with. Mm-hmm. You know, because up until like maybe 5 to 7 years ago, newspapers weren't really taking the internet seriously, you know, until Craigslist came along, you know, and ate up all of their classified ads revenue, you know. And now newspapers all over the country have paywalls because the only way they can make money is for people to maybe read 5 or 6 free articles, and then they have to pay in order to get the real content. The Oregonian does that.
Right.
You know, they have Oregon Live, and then, you know, you get through that, and then you get, you know, the real stuff. Not to say it's not real stuff, but, you know, you get more in-depth content.
Right, the stuff that was just right next to the other content in the paper, but now, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're again going to take a short break to get back to our personal membership drive here at KBOO Portland, where Don Merrill is talking about the Public Radio Fund Drive with his book Pledge. I'm Aaron Yankee, and I think we got Abe with us still.
Yes, indeed. That's correct.
Thanks, Abe.
That analysis by Don just now was fascinating. He was pointing out how the rise of the internet has fundamentally changed the funding model for a lot of media sources. They're actually making traditional for-profit media into something more like KBOO, which just tells you that we got it right the first time. This has always been a community-supported radio station. It will always be a community-supported radio station. And how will it continue? How will we continue to be part and parcel of this community with your support? 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Give us a call right now. We have a staff of engaging and attractive volunteers standing by to take your contribution this morning. It's really just that easy. All you have to do to be part of the KBOO family, to do your part to make sure that this radio station continues to give you the best in morning news and public affairs programming, is pick up the phone and become a member now. 877-500-5266. You can be just like Teresa from Eagle Creek, who contacted us this morning and made her contribution to KBOO, became a member of our extended KBOO family. And we've talked a lot about how we're part of the Portland community, but really our reach, our body extends much farther than that. We've got listeners from the Willamette Valley. We've got listeners from the Gorge. We've got listeners from Southern Washington. We've got folks from all around the nation and all around the world who tune into our audio stream at KBOO.FM. We are truly part of the global community, in addition to being based right here in Portland, Oregon. And you can be a part of that. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Or you can make a discreet, easy, simple online contribution by logging on to www.kboo.fm and clicking on the donate button. Do it now.
Thank you, Abe. And back again, my name is Aaron Yankee. We're here with Don Merrill. And we're going to talk about the different funding models. We are in our membership drive right now, 877-500-5266. We do have the book Pledge, the Public Radio Fund Drive, as a thank you gift. So give a call and find out more information about that. So can you give us a short history of the membership drive and what kind of stations use it and if it's effective or what, if there's anything to say about it?
Well, probably around the time public radio came into existence, which was 1967, public radio came into existence in 1967, which is when President Johnson signed the Public Broadcasting Act. And it took a few years for that to actually become an incarnation of NPR. NPR came on the air in May 1971. And almost immediately, the 80 or so stations that were part of the original NPR network realized that they needed a way to make money. The Congress at that time allocated, maybe $80 million. The way the law was written was that every year Congress would appropriate money to support the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which was the organization that brought PBS, the television arm, and NPR, the radio arm, into existence. And so every year, CPB would get money from Congress, and then it would redistribute that money to the radio arm and the TV arm. But the stations soon realized that wasn't enough, and they couldn't advertise. The Congress wrote rules into the law that said you couldn't sound like commercial radio because, of course, as KABU knows, a lot of the nonprofit stuff that law lets KABU do, it can't do what the commercial stations do, because the commercial stations would then say that you're getting a tax break to compete with us. And so the Congress made it so that public radio and community radio, nonprofit radio, could not do some of the same things like advertise. But what they could do is underwrite, which as anybody who listens to public radio, community radio knows, underwriting is just a euphemism for advertising. it's a word that nonprofit radio has come up with to sort of say, well, we're not advertising, but it sounds very much like advertising. The only difference is there cannot be any action steps. So you can't say, call now, buy this, go here. But you can say, support for the station was provided by. Or you can say, for more information, things that sound very benign. So anyway, stations realized that they had to find a way to make money. And so they came up with a pledge drive, which was a way to get the community invested in the success of the station. And so since then, pledge drives have gone through all kinds of different iterations to try to make them less annoying, because people really hate them. And so they're trying to find ways to make them less annoying, quieter, faster. They pack them with gifts to try to make them as palatable as possible. But there's plenty of research that says people still can't stand them. So for all the people out there listening to the pledge drive right now,
packed with gifts.
I'm speaking your truth. I know I am.
What are the options for the? I mean, the pledge drive has been around so long.
Right.
There is a level of success of direct connection. So
yes,
there just haven't been anything that worked better. If people hate it, but they're still doing it, like.
Well, some people listen to pledge drives because they really love the station and they love any kind of contact with the station.
Thank you.
And so they'll listen to pledge drives just like they'll listen to background music. You know, that to them, it's like, it's my station, it's my connection, I listen. But they're in the minority. Uh-huh. Most people who listen to pledge drives, in fact, one block of research I read said that people usually come back to the radio when they think it's safe. So they'll turn off the radio because people pretty much figured out pledge drives last about 6 minutes. And so that, because there's like three or four of an hour. So they'll figure out, okay, when this person starts talking, I'll turn off my radio, come back in about 5 minutes, it should be over. But as far as the options go, I mean, as far as different sources of funding, there's state money, there's federal money, there's corporate money from corporations, there's foundational money, which is money from like nonprofit foundations. And then there's money that stations generate themselves, like car donation programs, pledge drives, major giving programs where people are able to get people to sign over a share of their a retirement, you know, or like you hear stations say, remember us in your will, you know. So there are all kinds of ways that stations try to get money. But one of the ways that stations are really investigating now is something called pledge-free streaming. Pledge-free streaming is a new technology. It's not new, but it's been around since about 2011. And it's like this. If you had a pledge-free stream, if KABU had a pledge-free stream, people could be listening to music right now. They would never have to hear the pledge drive, but they'd have to sign up for the stream, and they'd have to pay extra for the stream. But once they paid for it, they could listen to KABU as normal on a dedicated device and never hear the pledge drive at all. But the reason why stations don't go toward pledge-free streaming is two reasons. One, because it's expensive to set up a pledge-free stream. And two, because stations have 40, 50 years of experience with the pledge drive. They know that the pledge drive gives them a connection to their audience that they can't get any other way. Even if half of their audience hate it, half of their audience will still keep listening. And so stations rely on the pledge drive because they have that experience and because they're not fully comfortable with the pledge-free stream yet. Mm. Even though the pledge-free stream has shown to bring in, it's been shown to turn off less people.
And is that another situation where because community radio has a stronger connection with its listeners, it's less disruptive to the public radio listeners, or is it still the same, about the same?
I think public radio listeners and community radio listeners overlap, but not that much. I think the programming that community radio offers is very distinctive to the community radio listener, just like the, as opposed to the public radio content, which tends to be kind of, I don't know, I guess you want to call it more white bread, you know. But community radio listeners want a specific type of content, a specific type of voice. And so there's not, I don't think there's really a whole lot of overlap there.
Okay. Well, community radio listeners, thank you for listening. We are going to offer this book pledge as a thank you gift for your support at 877-500-5266. And Abe will be able to tell you more details and more about it.
Okay, this is going to be really weird, okay? But stay with me because I'm going to walk you through how this works, okay? So right now, during this pledge drive, if you call up to make a pledge, we'll give you a copy of Pledge, the public radio fund drive authored by our guest this morning, Mr. Don Merrill. So you got that? Make a pledge, get a copy of Pledge during this pledge drive. It all adds up. Trust me. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Why should you do that? Well, you do get a copy of this fascinating book about how public radio stations like this one stay afloat, stay on the air. But you'll also, and I think more importantly, become part of that radio station itself. This radio station, KBOO, that so enriches your day, that so makes your life better. Is that a grand claim? It is indeed a grand claim, but I'm going to stick by it this morning. 877-500-5266. Your life is better with KBOO in it. So why not pick up the phone and help us stay on the air? Help us to continue to enrich your life, because really, we can't do it without you. Every contribution helps. Every member helps keep this ship afloat. Am I mixing my metaphors? I am. But I think it's working. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can also make a pledge online, kboo.fm. And while you're there, I encourage you to take a look around, because in addition to the sort of analysis, the sort of news coverage, the sort of incisive commentary that you hear every weekday morning on KBOO, we also have the greatest range and most diverse musical programming that you're going to hear anywhere on the radio dial. It's like Spotify up in here, I'm telling you. Where else are you going to find an hour of Middle Eastern music? Where else are you going to find classic jazz? Where else are you going to find the Grateful Dead? It's every possible niche of music that you enjoy you can find here on KBOO. It's literally mind-bending. So I ask you right now, log on to KBOO.fm, click on the donate button, become a member, and look around at the incredible range of programming that's available to you. And I got to tell you, in line with the streaming that Don was talking about a little while ago, most of the programs on KBOO are not only available live on the air, they're available as podcasts. So you can listen at any time of your choosing, any time of your convenience. You don't have to worry about your favorite programming being interrupted by, you know, your commute or your family or your day job or whatever. It's all there for you at KBOO.fm. It's just that easy. Become a member today. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We've got all kinds of cool stuff to sweeten the deal for you. Our staff of volunteers can tell you more about that. We're ready to meet you where you are at. Any level of support that you're able to offer us, We'll take it. We know how things are. We know things can be tough. We know that maybe you're not able to contribute as much as you'd like, but that's okay. There is no judgment here. We are all part of the KBOO family. We'll take whatever level of support you're able to give, and we will be grateful for it because you help keep us on the air. We don't have any commercial support. We don't have any government support. This is a listener-supported radio station supported by you, our members. In this community, we're what binds it together. We're what draws you all into this city and this state and this region that we all love so much. 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Abe. And
Aaron, I just want to mention something.
Yeah.
Okay, so while Abe was talking, there was a phone ringing in the background. Stations capitalize on the ringing phone sound, because the ringing phone tells other listeners that people are calling, and people call when other people are calling, because they like the idea that, well, if someone else is calling, I should call too. One of the mistakes that stations make sometimes that I found is that they'll say, there's nothing going on, so give us a call. And research has shown that is not what you want to say to the listener. Because the listener doesn't want to do something because no one else is doing it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So the ringing phone is very important in a public radio pledge drive. And so lots of stations make sure that phone rings loud and long during the pledge pitches.
Interesting. Wow. It's so neat to like learn, have that, you know, it's like the that feedback immediately of what is, what's actually going on psychologically and interesting. So so why do people who listen to public radio not support it?
Because they can get it for free. Basically, that's it. There's a there's an old concept called Tragedy of the Commons. And Tragedy of the Commons is if I understand it right, it's sort of based on this idea of this old English village that shares a common pasture. And so everybody in the village brings their cows or their horses to eat from the pasture, but nobody maintains the pasture. So pretty soon, everybody takes the benefit, but nobody takes the responsibility, and now nobody's cows can eat on the pasture because the pasture's been decimated. And it's the same kind of thing. With public radio, people just have to turn their radio on, and there it is. And so they figure, well, for the three or four times a year that they're going to talk to me for a week, I can just turn the radio off. You know, that's I get 48 out of 52 weeks for free. Why should I pay? And so public radio works very hard to help you, they would say help, to compel you to form a relationship. Because I remember, and this is where that thinking comes from. I remember when I was, you know, a young soldier going back and forth, you know, across the ocean and across the country. I used to see a lot of Hare Krishnas in airports, and Hare Krishnas would always give you a little flower. Well, there's psychology behind that. The psychology is if someone gives you a little gift, you're compelled to give them something back. The research shows people who give you a gift, no matter what it is, like even if you get something in the mail, like someone, a nonprofit or a charity sends you a penny. They send you Christmas stamps.
Right, yeah. You know, or those address labels. Yeah.
Address labels, right. The idea is you will feel compelled to give them something back. And so that's kind of what public radio does. Public radio says, we give you this content. We give you information to help you make decisions about your day-to-day life. We give you connections to your community. We give you all this stuff. We give you great music. And so shouldn't you give us something? Shouldn't you feel an obligation to balance out that relationship and give us something in return? Shouldn't you? So then it becomes a moral question. Then you're asking people, how good of a person are you? And you hear public radio stations talk about this a lot. They'll say things like, step up, step forward, you know, be that person, you know, be the kind of person that supports public radio. Well, implicit in that is, are you not that kind of person?
Yeah.
You know.
How can you look at yourself?
How can you look at yourself in
the
mirror? Right. That's exactly right. There's a lot of psychology in it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So So, yeah, there's a lot of that, like, transactional and relational. Mm-hmm. So what is the, how has that changed over the years? And what is the, what has worked better? Or what are they struggling with now?
They, you know, the tools in their toolbox are kind of limited. Because in the end, it just comes down to this voice and their ear. And there isn't really a whole lot of stuff you can put in between that. You know, the technology changes, so the access is different. The content doesn't really change because it's always about storytelling. It's always been about storytelling. So that doesn't really change. People are attracted by a good story well told. So, you know, everything else really is just kind of window dressing, you know. And, you know, they kind of jockey the... I don't want to say moving deck chairs around, but, you know, it's kind of like the stuff they do to try to improve that is kind of superficial because everything else really comes down to the relationship that the listener has with the person providing the content or the content. And you can't have a whole lot of stuff in between there. You know, it has to be sincere. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons why the podcasts like Serial and some of those other ones have been so successful because they are so personalized, long form, intimate storytelling, you know. But like I said earlier, you know, it's hit and miss for a station to create a podcast that's going to capture that kind of audience.
Right. Yeah. And then so with trying to attract more listeners to have a bigger pot, is that been effective for public stations?
Well, stations, what they have relied on for the last, I would think, 5 or 6 years maybe, has been the sustainer model. The sustainer model has become very important to public radio because the sustainer model is almost like a membership fee, almost. At least I think it is, because what you do is you pay a certain amount, and for that amount you pay, you don't have the psychological angst of not paying, right? You pay on a regular basis every month, and that's different than, you know, a station coming to you and saying, you know, once a year you donate, so isn't it your time to donate? That kind of thing. But the sustainer model has problems, and I'm not sure the audience understands how sustainer models are good and bad for radio stations. Here's how they're good. They're good in that stations have a regular amount of money that they can rely on. It's sort of like when you pay your phone bill or when you pay for your cell phone. You know, cell phone companies know that you're going to pay that $17 every month, and so they can budget into the future because they know that $17 or whatever it is going to come every month. That's good. But the reason it's bad is because let's say that I am a one-time giver. And I give $120 a year. Okay, so what is that? That's $10 a month. Okay, the station gets $120 cash right now. Let's say I'm a sustainer and I give $120. Well, the station still gets $120, but they only get it in $10 increments. So that means if I give $120 today, they have $10 for September, but they have the other $100. The other $110 in the future. They can't do anything with that. That's a receivable. When stations have a bunch of sustainers, what they have is a bunch of receivables. That doesn't help them pay bills right now. And so lots of stations end up having to have more pledge drives at higher amounts to make up for the fact that sustainers' future money isn't paying today's bills. So that's the problem. Mm. Sustainers are good in that they provide money that stations can rely on. But you have to have enough money to pay not only bills in the future, but bills right now. And lots of stations have had really bad financial problems because the receivables are not taking care of what needs to be taken care of right now.
Mm. Interesting. Well, future money givers of KBOO, give us a call at 877-500-5266 and help us not have problems with our future money. And Abe is going to have more details for you on how you can help us in the future and in the present.
So here's a question for you, listeners. Where does the discussion about fundraising end and the fundraising begin? I don't know. It's just that crazy in here today. But 877-500-5266 is the number to call. If you've been listening, you know that we've been hearing a wonderful discussion with Aaron and Don about the inner workings of fundraising at community-supported radio stations, just like this one. It's been a fascinating talk. And I'm saying this as somebody who's been a volunteer around this place for many years. You know, I thought I knew it inside and out, but it turns out there's a lot more to the story. But there's one thing that remains constant, and that is we need your support. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Why? It's very simple. It's one of those rare cause and effect relationships that you can count on in this life. You make a contribution, we stay on the air. It's just that simple. That's how it works. We can't continue to do this without your support. And you know what? I'm guessing that you will gladly give that support because you're not stupid. You know good radio when you hear it. You know good programming when you hear it. You know incisive commentary and analysis when it comes out of your speakers and into your ears. You are an Oregonian. You are a Portlander. You have discerning tastes. You know when you've got something good on your hands, and that's what KBOO is. Something good. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We've got a staff of volunteers standing by, taking contributions as we speak, and you can join that party. You can become a member of KBOO. It's so easy, you won't even believe it. And if really you're not feeling energetic enough this morning to reach out and dial a phone number, you can log on to kboo.fm, click on the donate button, become a member of KBOO, poke around the website, become awed at the incredible range of programming available for you, become dazzled by the musical programming unlike anything you've ever seen or heard before on your radio. It's really pretty cool. If it wasn't cool, I wouldn't be here. The other volunteers wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening. You see what I'm getting at here? It's a virtuous circle. Why don't you jump on in? 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Let's send it back to Aaron and Don.
Thank you, Abe. So, yeah, we just have a little bit more time left with Don Merrill, author of Pledge, the Public Radio Fund Drive. This was interesting to me. You talk about the snob factor of the public radio listener and the reputation of being snobbish. Can you get into that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to that whole idea of paternalism and, you know, the kind of we know more than you. And, I've been and I am a public radio listener, and I know public radio listeners, and I've worked in public radio and listened to a lot of public radio. And public radio does have a reputation of setting itself apart from commercial radio. And it does have a reputation of setting itself apart from community radio. It does that by saying that because it provides... And it will say this, we provide the best information, we provide the best news, we provide the best commentary, we provide the best everything. I mean, you tell yourself that for a while, and you really start to believe it, and you start to sound like it, you know. Susan Stamberg wrote a book probably 20 years ago called Every Night at 5. And she's one of the founding mothers of NPR. And I also want to say NPR is not the only network. I mean, I keep mentioning NPR, but only because it's the biggest dog. There's also American Public Media, there's the Public Radio Exchange, and there's Public Radio International. Each one of these networks serves a different audience, and I talk about who they serve in the book. But Susan Stamberg, when she wrote this book, her book called Every Night at 5, she began one of the chapters with a quote from Voltaire. She paraphrased Voltaire. She said, if NPR didn't exist, it would be necessary to create it. Well, anybody who knows Voltaire knows that Voltaire's quote was, if God didn't exist, it would be necessary for humans to invent it. And I thought, well, that's how NPR thinks of itself. Now, if that's not snobby and navel-gazing, I don't know what is. And public radio is not shy to say, yes, we know we're like this, but... It's sort of like when Muhammad Ali used to say, it ain't bragging if you can do it. So So I think that's what, and that attitude is not something that's being picked up by millennials. Millennials do not like that attitude. And so they separate themselves from public radio's traditional, paternalistic, snobbish attitude. I talk about a report by Host Merchant Services, which was a company part of American Express. And they talk and they talked about how, you know, for their parents, symbols of success and affluence were very important. The cars, the watches, the trips. But the report, now this is a company that works with American Express. They said, this is not working with millennials. Millennials do not like these kinds of associations. And, you know, by extension, millennials don't like things that make that association, like public radio, you know. Public radio's own demographics show that most of the people who listen to public radio do a lot of traveling, buy a lot of wealthy gifts, have advanced degrees, you know, own businesses. I mean, you know, like or high up in corporate business. So public radio's own demographics show that, you know, they sort of fit into the kind of thing that you know, boomers want, but their children don't.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the snob factor.
Yeah. And just sort of the culture that they're wading into this future.
Mm-hmm.
So how is your future with this book? Do you have events coming up or plans or?
I do. I have an event tomorrow night at Mother Folcott's bookstore. The proprietor was very kind to let me come there and talk about the book, and so I'm going to do that. I have some ideas that I don't really want to talk about it too much, but it's like I can't keep my mouth shut sometimes because I'm just so excited and so happy that the book has turned out the way it has. A friend of mine called this the public radio listener's Bible, and I really think that anybody who wants to know anything about pledge drives and community radio, because at the chapter I have a couple of chapters in there where I talk extensively about community radio and KBOO. But I think that one of the things I want to do is I want to try to promote the book with promos, little video snippets that sort of like give people an idea of what's going to be in the book. So I may be putting some of those up on YouTube within the next couple of weeks and maybe also on Facebook and social media. I've had to really lean into social media a lot with this book. You know, and some other things I'm thinking about, you know, maybe I'll have a podcast. You know, I'm not really sure about that yet because I want to do it right. And so it'll take some time to sort of think it through. But there's so much to be talked about in this and so much that public radio does not talk about itself, because basically public radio doesn't talk about itself for two reasons. One, because they don't want to make it seem like they're glad handing themselves. But the other reason is because if you talk about the good all the time, then pretty soon people are going to wonder, well, what about the stuff that's obviously not good?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about that stuff. They do not talk about that stuff. But I would.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to make sure that because the only way people are really going to be able to support their station, whether it's KBOO, whether it's OPB, whether it's any nonprofit station, the only way that they're going to be able to ensure the success of their station is if they know the good and the bad. If stations are always feeding them the good, you know, they're assuming that people are stupid and not realizing that there's bad. You know, when stations have dead air, when stations have technical problems, when stations have programs that suddenly disappear, when stations have anchors that are fired, you know, when stations go off the air, and people are sitting at home and they're like, what happened? And you call the station or you email the station and say, what's the problem? And they say, oh, there's nothing to see here. No problem here. That is supremely annoying to people because they think, do you think I'm stupid? You're always complimenting me on how smart I am to be a listener. And then you ignore me when I want to ask you a smart listener question like, why did you do this? Or why did you say this? Or why did this happen? And you ignore me. It really pisses people off.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of the things that I'd want to talk about if I had a podcast, or if I want to dig into this a little deeper and try to find other ways to tell the story.
Fascinating. Well, Mother Foucault's is in Southeast on Morrison, just off MLK.
Yeah, it's not very far from here.
Yeah, so just for folks to know. And it's probably around 7?
Yeah, around 7 o'clock.
All right. And then what's your social media to follow you? And
The website for the book is real simple, pledgethebook.com. And when you go there, there are links to all of my other social media accounts.
Excellent.
And the good thing I wanted to say really quickly is that on Amazon, I've gotten a lot of really good reviews for the book from people on inside of public radio and people not inside it. So I'm really grateful for those.
Oh, fantastic. Pledge the Public Radio Fund Drive, How Engineering the Ask, Compelling the Give, and Enticing the Stay Gets Public Radio Through Its Day by our guest, Don Merrill. Thanks, Don.
Thank you very much, Erin.